Traders Point, how we doing? Welcome to church. Welcome to 2026. You guys ready to start this year off right? There's something exciting about the first of the year, right? Like clean slate, endless possibilities. Like I might mess around and dunk a basketball later today on an 8-foot goal, but just to make myself feel good, you know what I mean? And maybe you're already beginning to think these thoughts that I know I've already been thinking. As I look back on last year and I'm looking at this year, anybody had this thought? This year is going to be different. Hey, real quick. Anybody had a different year yet? You know what I mean? Like, I'm no Miss Cleo. I got no crystal ball up here. But I can say a few things that I think are probably going to be true about your year. You are going to have moments this year where you're like, I can't believe this is happening. This is almost too good to be true. And you're gonna be in a room, you're gonna be somewhere with family and friends, you're gonna pull out your camera and take a picture because you're like, this is almost too good. I wanna take a picture of and remember this day because of how good, I can't believe it's happening. I wanna remember this always. And on the flip side, you're probably gonna have moments this year where you're like, I can't believe this is happening. I didn't see this coming. And you're gonna experience hurt and sadness, and maybe even loss. And you're gonna pull out your camera and you're gonna take a picture because this may be the last time you get to see this person. You know what I mean? Like this year, as unexpected as it will be, we can expect some things. And what I want us to do to be gathered here on this day is as we look ahead at this year and we just say, hey, even if this year is not going to be different, I'm gonna be different. Anybody with me? Yeah. This year, I'm gonna be prepared. Church, I want you to hear this today. God wants to do a transformational work in you no matter your circumstances this year. Transformational, big change. Like I'm not talking iPhone 16 to iPhone 17, you know what I mean? Like did it change? The camera's different. Okay, no, I get it. I'm talking like caterpillar to butterfly. Like completely brand new, like unmistakable, like this is different. That's what God wants to do in your life. And as I was getting ready for this message, it was the end of the year, and I was really just kind of praying and asking God, like, what have you revealed to me? What have you shown to me this year? And what should I say? There was a word that came up, and I got to hear it when I was hearing about, I got to meet the guy that was there for Asbury, where there was this outpouring of the Spirit and all these students, people around the world came to hear about Jesus. I heard this word, and as I was reading these older pastors and authors, I kept seeing this word over and over again, and it's one we don't use too often, but it's consecrated. It's consecrated before the Lord, consecrated before God. And I started looking at that, and just for you, if you don't know, no shame in it. I love the way Oswald Chambers says it. He says, consecration is the act of separating ourselves to God in everything, every habit, every relationship, every ambition. It's saying, God, all of me, I want to be for you. I want to be set apart. I want to be distinct. I want to be consecrated to the Lord. And guys, that's really when things begin to change. When we want to make sure that we are going to change, we need to make sure that we are consecrated before him. It's when we get skin in the game. That's when God does a transformational work, when we're invested. I got to see this past year with my kids. Every year, they love to do a secret Santa with one another. So they throw all their names in a hat, they reach in, they get one of their siblings, and they get to be the ones that buys a gift for their sibling. Now, it's a $25 limit. Because I ain't got it like that, you know what I mean? But what's fascinating to me is that on Christmas Day, those are the presents they want to open up first. And I'm not bragging, but I spend a little bit more than $25 on them a piece. But that doesn't matter. And they want to open that present underneath their tree. I don't know if your house is like this, but in our house, in the living room, in the main room, we have our tree, which my wife and I perfectly curated. Lights and ornaments, it's pristine, it's beautiful. And then in the back room, the kids have their tree. All those ornaments that they bring home every year, like, Papa, look what I made. Like, why are you calling me Papa? But, oh, that's such a beautiful thing. You should put that back there on that tree. And Christmas morning, that's where they go. And what I love doing is watching them watch their siblings open up the gift that they got. Christmas changes for them because they're invested in it. And I think the same is true about us and our relationship with God and our relationship with the church even, is when we become invested, when we are consecrated, when we are set apart, that's when things change. And that's our hope and our prayer for you this year, whether it's your first time or your 50th year here at Traders Point. And that's what today is. It's what does it look like to be transformed? What does it look like to change even if this year doesn't change? And here's what I want to offer you as an incentive to stick with us for the next 30 minutes or so. Maybe you've already asked this question. Maybe you've thought about it. But what is God's will for my life? We're going to get to that at the end of today. It's just an incentive. I'm putting it out there. Stick with me. Anybody have that on their bingo card for 2026? What does God want for me this year? But to do that, we're going to be in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. If you have a Bible, go ahead and get to it. If not, all the scriptures will be on the screens here around me. But this is Paul speaking here, and he's writing to a group of churches in Rome. And they've become divided on a lot of different things. So for the first 11 chapters, he's really written a lot of doctrine, a lot of theology, hoping to bring them back together. And then starting in chapter 12, he gets very practical. He begins to turn the corner. And he says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all of he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." And you know, usually most weekends we go verse by verse through a chapter. Today we're gonna go word by word through a verse, okay? Every word is so full and has so much there. So I just wanna start with just that transitional statement there. "And so." Some of your Bibles, maybe they say "therefore." In a Bible study tool, if it says "therefore," you always ask, what is it there for? And in this moment, what Paul's doing as he turned the corner is he's saying, "And so, because of everything I have unpacked in these first 11 chapters, I want you to present yourselves as a living sacrifice." And I don't have time to go over everything that he covers in the first 11 chapters, but I just want to give you a little bit of a flyover of what he's said so far. So he's calling back to the mercies of God, and he starts in the space of saying, "Hey, listen, there's some bad news. All of us, all people are under the power of sin. We are slaves to sin." And then he keeps going, and it kind of gets worse before it gets better. But he says, "No one can make themselves right. No one can save themselves. All have fallen short of the glory of God and sinned." But then in chapter 5, he begins to turn the corner, and he says, "But while we were still God's enemy, he chose to die for us. He chose to send his son. And his son came and lived the perfect life that we couldn't live. And he went to a cross and he died on our behalf. But he didn't stop there. He defeated sin and death and overcame the grave and now is presenting a relationship to me and you where we can be saved. We are no longer slaves to sin. We have the holy power, the Holy Spirit, and we have been empowered. Then now we have freedom over our lives." Can we celebrate that this morning? That's the good news of the gospel. He goes on to say that God is faithful. And this whole Christian life, our eternity, is not wrapped up in our performance or how well we can do it, but it's in the perfect Son of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. Yes. And so because of all of that, this is the way we worship him. This is the way we serve him. This is our response to all that he has done. He says, this is the true way. And that's a fine definition, but a better, maybe closer word is this is the logical or rational or reasonable response to all that God has done. It's reasonable what he's asking us to do. And I can tell you, as a dad, one of the hardest things for me is that when I ask my kids to do something and they act like it's unreasonable. You ever been there? I'll paint the picture for you, right? You're sitting at dinner and it's been a lovely dinner. It's like a feast, but it's not even a holiday. It's just a Wednesday, but it's a good day. Everyone's eating, everyone's happy, clean plates all around. And you get up to clear the table and you say, "Hey guys, real quick, can you unload the dishwasher?" Ugh. This isn't fair. Like, why do I have to unload the dishwasher. Like it's the most unreasonable thing in light of all that I've done that they could do. Why do you have to unload the dishwasher? I don't know, give me a second. Maybe because every plate, cup, and utensil that's in there, I bought it. Because now it's clean, but once it was dirty, it was filled with food that I bought. Every cup that was in there was filled with a liquid that I provided to sustain the life that you have. Every utensil that you use to scrape food into your mouth, I gave you that. Why? Because I am your father and I brought you into this world and I can take you out. So yes, unload the dishwasher, please. What Paul is saying here, not as clever as that, but he's saying, in light of all that God has done, in light of the gospel, what I'm about to call you to is a lot and it's extreme and it's gonna cost a lot, but it's reasonable. It's logical when you think about all that Jesus has done for you and for me. What Romans 12 verse 1 does is it brings us to the line to decide. How are we going to respond? In light of all that God has done, the ball's in our court. What are we going to do? And here's what God calls us to. We're gonna read this verse one more time. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So just to recap, what's our reasonable response? It's to give our bodies to God, to let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Well, what does that mean? You see, some of this goes over our head because of the culture that we live in, but for the first audience, those that Paul was writing to, this would have been very clear. The word sacrifice meant something. You see, they lived within a sacrificial system. There was a temple terminology. In the Old Testament system, people brought different kinds of offerings, different sacrifices with a distinct purpose for God. And I'm not gonna go into all of them, but I just wanna give you two examples to kind of show what Paul's talking about here and what he's not. So two big types of offerings that you could bring would be a sin offering or a burnt offering. And let's be clear here, what Paul is saying, what he's not saying. He's not saying offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, as a sin offering. Jesus is our sin offering once and for all. Our offering is not to be forgiven of our sin. We were made right by Jesus on the cross. That has been settled, that has been decided. That is not our motivation. That is not why we do and bring this sacrifice. It is because we are loved. It is because we are accepted. It is because God has already done what he's done. Our response is a moment of worship. That's why it's probably closer to a burnt offering in the temple system. And a burnt offering was just simply the first and the best animal from your flock. It showed that all that you had was at God's disposal. It truly was an act of worship where it said, hey, God, you are worth more than my most valuable possession. And Paul says, in the same way, when you offer your bodies, you are basically saying, God, you are worth more than life itself. We're gonna get there. This would have been surprising in some ways to the first readers because that culture grew up and were shaped by Platonic thought. This idea that the body was a tomb, it was gross, it was good for nothing. The real life, the one that you had to ascend to, was the spiritual life. Everything physical was bad and everything spiritual was good. And so when he's saying offer your bodies, that would have been confusing to them. He's like, the body isn't worth anything. And then even for our culture today, when you think about it, bodies are reduced quite a bit too. Our bodies are just tools to be able to reach out and to accomplish and do all the things that our hearts desire us to do. But Christian thought is something very, very different. It's not saying that the body is a tomb. It's not just saying the body is some tool and you just have some meat paws and you're trying to go out and handle everything. No. Christian thought is the body is a temple, a temple. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, or do you not know that your body, is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, with whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a high price. So glorify God in your body. You were bought at a high price. Make no mistake about it. God finds you very valuable. Even when it meant sending his only son, even when it meant his death, that's what it took to purchase your body. He said it was worth it. So now, yes, he has plans for it. He has repurposed it. He wants you to use it in a new way. He wants it to be consecrated. And it's your whole body. It's your eyes. It's the way you see the world. It's your ears. It's what you listen to and allow to dictate what you do and what you don't do. It's your feet. It's where you go and where you don't go. It's your hands. It's what you build and bring into this physical world. It's your private parts. It's your sexuality. It is all of you. God wants a relationship with you, not just the spiritual you, not just the Sunday you, not just the church service you, the physically consecrated you. That makes sense to us in other relationships. Like, we would never just say, I have a spiritual friendship with someone or a physical, it's like, no, all of you is what God wants. And God's saying the same thing to you. And I just wanna ask you, have you offered all of yourself to God? As you think back and you process this past year, and as you look back maybe last night or this week, is there any part of you that you have not offered up to God? Have you offered all of yourself to God? Your hands, what you do, your feet, where you go, your eyes, what you see, how you see the world, is it completely shaped and consecrated before God? Are you a living sacrifice? Or is there any part of you that you're holding back? Is there any part of you saying, like, God, I'll give you all of this, but I'm gonna hold on to this. God, I trust you with all of that, but I need to hold on to this for me. Do you have anything like that? What we need to do, and I know it sounds extreme. Maybe you're like, this is a lot, okay? I came first of the year. I wanted to start the year off right. Thought I'd have some fun. And you're talking about sacrificial systems and sacrifices. But I just want us to be very, very clear. This isn't that different. The things that you love, the things that you're passionate about, the things that you care about, you sacrifice for every single day. You give up things so that you can have other things. The question isn't, are you going to sacrifice this year? It is, what are you going to sacrifice and who are you going to sacrifice to? What are you going to allow to shape you? And we can either sacrifice for ourselves or those around us, or we can sacrifice to God. And I'll just say out loud what we all know to be true. Your body can do some amazing things. Your body is a great servant to accomplish many things, but it is a horrible master. If you listened to everything that your body wanted to do, your life would be wrecked by the end of the week. That's why the spiritual discipline of fasting is so important and helpful. It's a great way to show your body you are not in charge. And if you don't know, fasting is essentially the practice of giving up food or another habit that your body craves for a period of time to better focus on God and what he wants. And so this year, I want you to mark your calendars and prepare for a 21-day fast that we are doing church-wide. It's gonna kick off February 1st and run through February 22nd. You can sign to get signed up here. We're gonna have journals. We're gonna have resources to go in the app, everything. But we just wanna invite you in because this is gonna be 21 days where we pause, where we fast, where we hear from God, where we put a pause on all the things that we've become dependent on, that we're leaning on a little too heavy, things that we don't even realize are that big of a deal until we take them away. I didn't realize how much I was leaning on a drink at the end of the day until I took it away. I didn't realize how big of a deal Netflix was until I took it away at night. And when I took it away, what God did in that space was powerful and life-changing. It's where we starve the flesh so that our appetite for God can grow. You guys in? Yeah. Take your verbal confirmation there, and I will be ready with you on February 1st. So he says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. But it's actually two adjectives that he gives here that I want you to offer yourselves. And look back at verse 1. He says, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find, God will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Now, just a few points about living. So we offer a living sacrifice. This means that it's continual, it's ongoing. It's not just, hey, that one time in the 1900s, I gave my life to Jesus and I haven't really done much since. It's this idea that every day, every hour, I'm constantly and continually offering my body as a living sacrifice, remembering that I am not my own. I've been bought with a high price. God, you have a purpose that is eternal for me. You have a God purpose for my life that is bigger than me, and I want you to make me aware of it. God, what do you want to do? And then the second thing that would have been different for them is that sacrifices, 100 out of 100 sacrifices, by the time they got to the altar, were dead. They weren't living. There's an old pastor joke that the problem about a living sacrifice is that they crawl off of the altar. It's like, yeah, I'm not gonna stay here for this. I'm gonna go. And I just wanna ask you, have you crawled off of the altar? Maybe you experienced something this past year. Maybe it shook you up a little bit. Maybe you hit rock bottom, or maybe God started in a beautiful way of helping you and giving you the life that you always wanted, but then that holy fire came in and started burning some things away that you weren't ready to let go of, and you said, hey, time out, I'm gonna step over here. Maybe I wasn't as sure about this as I thought I was. I just wanna encourage you that let this year be the year that you come back to the altar. I just wanna encourage everyone at all of our campuses today that the heat has a purpose. And Paul is being very particular with his words here. You see, the Greek for sacrifice is kill, to kill. So literally what he's saying is, I want you to be a living killing. It's paradoxical. And it reminds you of the teachings of Jesus. You remember when Jesus came and he says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. This is the paradox of the Christian life, that it is a life of dying to yourself but coming alive in Christ. It is the process of experiencing 1,000 deaths but 1,001 resurrections. That is what God has for you this year. In the Old Testament, the animal sacrifices were burnt up. In the New Testament, the people of God, as you stand on the altar and offer yourself as a living sacrifice, you can trust this holy flame because you will be purified. You will be made holy. That is what God has for you this year if you will stay in the pocket. Holy. That's the second word that he had. He had living, and then he had holy. And I know holy can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, so let's just get a basic definition. Holy means being intentionally set apart for God's purpose. Sounds a lot like consecrated, right? That's because it is. Holy means being intentionally set apart for God's purpose. Once again, he bought you. He has a design for you and what he wants you to do. But I also know that can live kind of out there. You're like, okay, I'm a living and holy sacrifice. What does that even mean? And one of my favorite guys that I look up to, pastor, author, he wrote a translation of the Bible. And I think he breaks this down so beautifully in the Message translation. Look at how he describes Romans 12. He says, so here's what I want you to do. This is all of us. God helping you, hold on to that. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. That's what God's calling you and me to do. Not to create something special, not to do something over here, or to have this holy huddle. No, no, no. It's to say, God, you've given me a life. You've given me family. You've given me friends. You've given me influence. You've given me a school. You've given me a job. Now I'm offering it back to you and saying, not my will, but your will be done. What do you want to do? For you, maybe this is what it looks like this. You're a student, and you're one student among hundreds or thousands of students, all with the same idea. I'm here to get some good grades, to have some fun, play sports, but eventually get on to my next thing. I'm here to get an education, and that is still true. But I'm saying, what would it look like this year as you start this semester to say, God, you're sovereign over this school. You have a plan for this school. And God, I don't want to just ask you to bless my plans. God, what do you want to do in me and through me that is uniquely you? I offer myself to you. What do you want to do? For those of us that have jobs and careers, maybe this year, instead of just saying, hey, I want to have another great end of year review, I want to work hard, I want to climb the ladder, I want to be successful, what would it look like this year to say, God, I'm open-handed. What do you want to do in me and through me? How are you gonna use me to impact those around me? How can I bring the love of Christ with me? God, use me to bring heaven to earth in these spaces. What would that look like? For you, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and your goal has been, God, just help me keep these kids alive. And that is a good goal. It's a big goal. But what if this year you said, God, you have given me these kids and I do want to keep them alive. But God, what would it look like for you to help me raise them in you? God, help me to help them to know you. God, help me to bring the love of God to them so they can have a strong foundation. They will know you today and they will know you for all of eternity. God, what do you want for my family? And what he says is that when we approach life like that, when there's not the secular and the holy, but everywhere we go is holy ground because the Spirit of God is with us, that is when things begin to change. And he says that's not just a way of life, that is how you worship God. Did you catch that in the last part of verse one? He says, this is the way you truly worship God. And so what I want you to hold on to today is to remove that idea of secular and holy, church things and regular things, my work life, my home life, my church life. No. It is all bound up in your body. And what I do with my body is an act of worship. And I want you to think about this. What do we usually think of when we think of worship? We were just doing it a few minutes ago. What would we think of? Singing. And that is worship. And it's not just because we have these angelic voices on the stage leading us to the throne room of God, which helps. But it's really in the words that we are proclaiming, the words we are singing. Some of us well, some of us not so well. But it's when we sing, we are worshiping because we are declaring the truth of the gospel. We're reminding ourselves of the sovereignty of God, that he is in control. He's the creator of all things, that he's good and he's powerful. And he's beyond my circumstances. He's above them in every way. And he's a good God who's infinitely good and infinitely powerful. And so now I worship his name. I lift his name. I even lift my hands in worship in a sign of dependence on him. That is worship. But can I tell you what Romans 12 says? It says, when we offer our bodies in total surrender, here's what it is. The ultimate act of worship is living with open hands in total surrender. It's when we come to the end of ourselves and say, God, I can do a lot of things with my hands. I can create a lot of futures. I can create a lot of possibilities, but God, I want my hands to be a blessing to you and your kingdom. My gifts, I give them to you. What do you want to do? When I look at all that God has given me in resources and money and finances, and I say, God, this is all given to me because of you, so I want to offer it back. What do you want to do with it? Everything down to every word that I say in a day. God, I don't want these words to be mine. I want them to be yours. I want you to use me to bring life. I want you to use me to bring the gospel everywhere that I go so that people can know how good you are, Jesus. I want to surrender to you in everything. I just have a question, a moment of honesty. Is that how you're living? So I want to give you a question to really think on this week and as you get geared up for this year. Am I surrendering my body to God as a living sacrifice or merely asking him to bless the life I've already chosen? You know what I mean? I think a lot of times, even the best of us, we come to God, we have this moment, we say, God, I want to give you my life. God, I want you to lead me. God, but it's usually with one hand. The other hand's over here still closed. Because we're saying, God, I just want you to hear me out. I got a pretty good thing going over here. If you could just bring in the last 10%, we could really make some moves down here. So God, I'll make a deal with you. I will do this and this and this and this if you just provide this. And we get upset when God says no deal because we have to come to this place of God is not in the business of making deals. He's already made it. And he says, I want you to give all of me. In faith, I want you to surrender it all, even the thing that you're holding on to, that piece. What would it look like to open it up this year and to say, God, I don't want to just come around you and say, God, bless this thing that I'm doing. Help me create what I want to create. Help me become who I want to become. But what would it look like to truly surrender, to let go and to trust him with your life? What does that look like? I'm glad you asked, because verse 2, he's gonna move directly into this. He's gonna get to the how of how we live these transformed life, where it starts, and what me and you can do this year to make sure that we stay on that altar and nothing moves us away. Change, deep change. Remember, caterpillar to butterfly, not iPhone 16 to 17. I hope I don't get sued by iPhone or something. Apple, whoever owned it. I'm a happy customer. I have one. I enjoy it. So look at what he says in verse 2. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. I want you to think about that. This divide between secular and holy, or this idea if I can just commit to coming to church or coming to group, then I'm gonna be okay. Can I just tell you the math ain't mathing on that? We have to be constantly aware that our whole lives are living sacrifices, that we're moving for his kingdom every moment of the day. Because hear me, God isn't the only one that has a plan for your life. He isn't the only one that has a vision for your life. The world, at the same time as God is trying to purify you and make you holy, the world is trying to conform you and make you into its image. I love the way J.B. Phillips talks about these verses. He says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. And I just wanna ask you, do you feel that? Doesn't it feel like sometimes when you come here, you hear a message about what you should do and what God wants and what God calls good, and then you start the week and you're like, wow, this is exactly the opposite of what I just heard on the weekend. What if that's not a coincidence? What if there is a real enemy? What if there is a way that it's trying to conform you, but along the way, God is saying, no, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust that what I say is good and pure and honorable. I want you to trust your life to me, and I promise you I will keep you safe. This is what Pastor Aaron's been talking about, this idea of revival and resistance. It's not just seasons of revival where everyone's getting baptized, which they are. Can we celebrate that over 2,000 people here at this church got baptized last year? Unbelievable. But it was at the same time most of us were experiencing so much opposition. There was so much resistance. Every step we wanted to take, it felt like there was a force pushing against us, making it harder and harder. I know that you feel it, I do. And what God is saying is that we think that the foundation is gonna be all these things or something we're gonna find. He says, no, the internal work that I wanna do, the foundational work is with your thinking. Thinking, and that's different. A lot of times our foundation for our faith is either a feeling or doing. And maybe you find yourself in one of those camps, and God's not against either one of those, but he has something better, something stronger. Because if your faith is built on feeling, it will be a very self-centered faith. If you only go to church, you only worship, you only offer yourself as a living sacrifice when you feel like it, I got a feeling you're not gonna feel like it most of the time. Or if you make your life about doing, like you just wanna give it everything and you wanna start and just go and go and go and go and you forget your motivation and you think about why you're doing what you do, just give it a matter of time and you will experience spiritual burnout. Well, God is saying, no, I want to change you from the inside out, starting with the way you think. And think about what? It's preaching the gospel to yourself every single day. It's Romans chapter 1 through 11, if you have time to read it. It's reminding yourself of the story. It's reminding yourself of how good God really is, that he saw you when you weren't righteous. He saw you when you were hostile to him. He saw you when you were his enemy. And he says, I love you too much to leave you there. God saw you from heaven and left heaven, came to earth and lived that perfect life for you. That God saw you, but saw the worth in you. He knew what you were worth. And he showed that by going to the cross and offering himself. He paid the cost of his life to show it to you. He paid the cost to redeem you. And now on this side, you and me, we have a relationship with God that no one or anything can pluck us from his hand. We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we've been given a great task, an eternal one. The Great Commission to go and to tell everyone about Jesus and all that he's done, to make disciples who make disciples, to get to see the kingdom advance, to get to see heaven touch down to earth, to see those that we love come to know the fact that there's a God that loves them. We remind ourselves every single day what's at stake. That's the motivation. And I also want to just give you a few things that are super practical. If it all begins this internal work that God wants to do, and if that's what's gonna keep us on the altar, and the more we know, the more we trust him, and the more faith we have to change the way we think. So I just wanna give you a few things today that'll help you through your journey this whole year. You guys ready?
Ready.
All right, cool. I thought we would be better by now, but it's okay. This is the first year. I mean, it's first week of the year. We'll get there. How do I change the way I think? And just reframe. Live today as a living sacrifice. Ask God to show you how each moment can move from ordinary to holy. Offer your day to him before it begins. Here's what I want to encourage you with. That when you wake up tomorrow, before your feet hit the floor, before you move the covers, just close your eyes and immediately pray and say, God, today is yours. Before I ask you to do anything, before I ask you to lift a finger, before I ask you to bless anything I want, I just want to acknowledge that I am a living sacrifice presenting myself on your altar. I give today to you. Show me what you want to do. And I pray that I have the courage to follow through on it. Let that be the reframe. Instead of God, bless this, but God, what do you want to do? And you just see how your days change and how you think about what you go through. The second one is read. Study God's word and put it into practice. Here's the idea. If we're gonna change the way we think, we have to have good inputs. If we're gonna change the way we think, we have to be constantly inundated with what does God's word say? What does God say is good? What does God tell me I should be doing? How does God say I should approach this relationship? What does God say about forgiveness? What does God say about money? What does God say about sexuality? And I'm constantly being reminded, okay, this is what God says. And now I can use it and put it into practice. And this year we're doing something new. As a church, we've created a daily Bible reading plan. Where we're inviting everyone into this. Pastor Aaron's gonna be doing it, I'm doing it. It's gonna start tomorrow. And here's what it is. We're just gonna take the year to read through the New Testament. If you've ever wanted to do that, this is your year. And everyone can do it. It's one chapter a day, 5 days a week. We would love for you to scan this. Everything's in our app. We'll have additional resources for how you can study the Bible. But if you wanna change the way you think, it starts with reframing your days and it starts with reading God's word. The third thing is this, relationship. Practice daily prayer, talking and listening to Jesus, and find your crew by actively engaging in a group centered on the word of God. Here's what I wanna say about this. We have God's word, it is open to you, his wisdom is there, and you have a living relationship with the eternal God. Through the Holy Spirit, you have access to the throne room of God. You can have a personal relationship with Jesus. That means you talk. Your fears, your worries, what you think is important, what you need help with, what you need wisdom for, you ask and you listen. You hear from the God of this universe. That's how you begin to change the way you think because you get to hear directly from him. And then the second thing is find your crew. You need the voice of God in your life and you need other voices, other Bible-believing, Christ-following Christians in your life to be able to speak into your life, to be able to hold you accountable. When you begin to walk kind of backwards off of the altar, they're gonna be there to encourage you, no, stay there, stay there. I know it's hard. I know it's a lot, but I promise you the work God is doing is going to be worth it. Do you have that? You need to get it. And then the last one is repent. Ask the question, where do I need to allow God to change my mind? Guys, we cannot get too proud, too prideful to believe that God has already given us everything that we need, that we're never gonna have to change our mind, that there's not more of God to know, that there's not some things that we've gotten wrong or just not completely right. And what would it look like this year to wake up every day believing that you can come to this humble posture and say, God, what do you wanna teach me today? What do you wanna reveal to me? Where have I gotten it wrong? And I can take it because I know that you love me and I know you want what's best for me. I know there's no shame in it, but it's only for my good. So I invite you to search me and to find anything in me that is not of you. Burn it away. God, help me to repent, not just to change the way I think about it, but then even I'll give me the courage and the power to walk away from it and walk towards you. That is how we reframe our minds in the new year. Yeah, it is good. And then for all of you that maybe you're here and you're like, I'm with you, I want that. The thing that I could give you that we've seen over the past few years, more and more people have had the best experience with, of going through this and really getting to experience that renewal of the mind in a new life. It starts with Rooted. Rooted, you can sign up today. There's only a few spots left, but I just want to encourage you. What it really is like a spiritual boot camp. where you're gonna get together with 10 weeks, you're gonna be surrounded in relationship, you're gonna be centered on God's word, you're gonna be challenged to memorize scripture, you're gonna be challenged to pray, to serve, and it's gonna set you up with a really good foundation moving forward. That's how you get skin in the game. And it's there. It's when we become invested, when we consecrate ourselves, when we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, when he burns away our disordered desires and only he remains, that's when we get to know his will. Look at the last part of the verse. It says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I want you to see the confidence that Paul speaks with. Then you will. Like a lot of times I think we have this idea that God's will for our life is this mystery out there that maybe one day we'll stumble upon, that if we get into the right desert with maybe some drugs or something, then we can know what God wants for our life. Can I tell you that God's will for your life is not something that's hidden. It's not something that he wants to keep a secret. It's not something that he's keeping from you. It's something that he wants to reveal to you. And it becomes revealed more and more. It's not something that's found out there. It's what God unravels from within you. He wants to share it with you. You will offer your body, renew your mind, know God's will. And that's where we end where we began today. And my challenge to myself and to us as a church is, what would it look like to move from just casual Christians who enjoy and participate to consecrated Christ followers who say, God, I wanna be a living sacrifice. I wanna burn for you. I wanna trust you with every part of my life. You wanna know God's will for your life? I can give it to you right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. This is what he wants for everyone. So let all of us who've had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. 2026, if you wanna know your marker, what you should focus on this year, no matter the circumstances, no matter what comes your way, ask this question: am I being made more and more into his glorious image? Whenever this world tries to come at you and conform you into its image, I want you to push back with the power of the Holy Spirit and say, I was made in the glorious image of Jesus Christ, and I am not going to be conformed, but I'm going to be transformed more and more into his glorious image. And along the way, we begin to love what God loves. We begin to see the world the way he sees. We begin to build what he wants to build. And then look at this. Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. You no longer have to question, is this me or is this God? Our hearts are aligned. What I want is what God wants. On the big things, we're all centered. So on the little things, it's like he sees you as a father. And he wants you to have the desires of your heart. Once you get all this part right, that's the will of God for you. And when I become invested, when I have skin in the game, everything changes. And I couldn't think of a better way to close out service today as we step into a new year than to remember that Jesus has skin in the game. To remember that, yeah, he is calling us to be a living sacrifice, but he has already sacrificed his for us. So as we take communion today, I just want you to remember that. For all followers of Jesus, let's take the bread which represents the body of Jesus that was broken on your behalf. All of it was given for all of you. We take it and we remember. And we take the juice which represents the blood of Jesus, the blood that was spilled on our behalf, the blood, the high cost that was paid for our bodies, and we remember Jesus. Right now, we're gonna continue to worship, and I just wanna ask you at all of our campuses, if you would stand to your feet, to hold on to this moment. I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna go into a time of worship where we can truly fix our minds on Christ. So right where you are, just close your eyes, bow your heads, and join us in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for today. God, we thank you for the word that you've presented to us in Romans. God, I pray for all of us right now, God, that we would be reminded this year of the gospel message, that it would be what motivates us, empowers us, and leads us every single day. God, I pray that we would be a group of consecrated Christians on the altar. God, that we would stand there and we would be purified and made holy. God, that you would do a transformational work. God, that we would be unrecognizable by the end of this year. God, we offer ourselves to you. And we remember that you've already offered yourself to us. God, we have been bought with a high cost. And God, you have plans for us. So God, I pray right now we take this seriously. We're not playing church. God, we are the church. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We are ushering in a new kingdom. God, where we go, heaven goes. God, I pray heaven would fall and Indy would feel the weight of it. They would experience love like they've never experienced. They would experience grace and mercy and all of the fruit of the Spirit. God, you would transform us from the inside out. We would no longer just ask you to bless our plans, but we would come open-handed and total surrender and say, God, what do you want to do this year? And we would listen and we would obey. And God, I pray that we get to see the miraculous. I pray we get to see miracles. I pray we get to see baptisms. I pray we get to see life change. I pray that we get to see children adopted. I pray we get to see homes restored. God, I pray we get to see marriages brought back together. God, I pray we get to see lost prodigals come home and know the love of the Father. I pray that those that struggle with addiction, God, that they would overcome in this year in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I pray for your Spirit to take hold. I pray for you to fill us. I pray for you to burn away everything that is not of you. And let us be yours and yours alone. Let us live and serve to an audience of one, Jesus. Father, we lay everything else down and we stand before you with open hands and complete surrender. Jesus, we pray in your perfect name, and the church said, amen. Amen.